Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8, Text 32. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Ekada Kriyamanaha Te Rama Adyaha Gopa Dārakāha Krishnaha Mridam Bhakshitavan Iti Matre Nyavedayan Ekada Kriyamanaste Ramadya Gopadarakaha Krishno Mridam Bhakshitavan Iti Matre Niyavedayan Ekada Kriyamanaste Ramadya Gopadarakaha Krishno Mridam Bhakshitavan Iti Matre Niyavedayan
Ekada Kriyamanaste
Ekada. Once upon a time. Kriyamanaha. Now Krishna, being still more grown up, was playing with other children of the same age. te de Rama Adyaha Dalarama and others Gopa Darakaha other boys born in the same neighborhood of the cowherd men. Krishnaha Mridam Bhakshitavan. O Mother, Krishna has eaten earth. A complaint was lodged. Iti thus. Matre unto Mother Yashoda. Nirvedayan. They submitted. One day, Krishna's adventures. One day, what was Krishna doing? While Krishna was playing with his small playmates, including Balaram and other sons of the Gopas, all his friends came together and lodged a complaint to Mother Yashoda. Mother, they submitted, Krishna has eaten earth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. News headlines, and then then comes the report, all the details. Here is another of Krishna's transcendental activities invented to please the gopis. First, a complaint was lodged with Mother Yashoda about Krishna's stealing, but Mother Yashoda did not chastise him. Now, in an attempt to awaken Mother Yashoda's anger so that she would chastise Krishna, another complaint was invented that Krishna had eaten earth. Om Gyana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtham Manum Api Shachiputram Atra Swarupam Rupam Tasya Grajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Ashri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Atav, Pada Kamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka. Guru Vaishnav Bhagavan, Tine Smarani Hoy Bigna Binashan, Anayashe Hoy Nijavan Chita Puran. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Something very serious is going on here. Continuing our study of Ved and Vedanta, Mimamsa, Sankhya, Yoga, all the darshans. With discussion of Krishna eating earth. What kind of stool do you pass to eat if you eat earth? Anyone know? I don't know either. Because Krishna was passing stool in people's houses. And it appears that some of his playmates were chuckling a bit, thinking, aha, now he's going to get punished. And they were disappointed he didn't get punished. And they say that they invented that he ate dirt and complained to Mother Yashoda. Now, from this pastime as described in Bhagavatam, it's not clear to me whether Krishna actually did eat dirt or not. Prabhupada says he didn't, but he's biased, obviously. He's on one side, and there are two groups of boys, right? One is siding with Krishna, and the other is siding with Balaram and the others. So you can't trust what Prabhupada says here. Make a clip and put that on YouTube. They'll enjoy that. It's a big event in the minds of the young boys. They take things very seriously when they're fighting among themselves. Of course, it's all mock fighting. Mock fighting in the sense that they do feel it very seriously. But at the same time, they're all friends. That's now, this kind of bantering, there's a word in English, bantering, which means mock, insulting others, and just out of fun. And that's now being banned in modern culture, because you're not allowed to say anything that might slightly be interpreted in a prejudicial way. So, anything you say, just like when you're arrested in Britain, at least in England, it may be a different law in Scotland, the police say to you, I know, for the criminal activities of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, that anything you say may be used in evidence against you. You also had that experience, you're nodding your head there, Gopalacharya. You ever got arrested in Northern Ireland? No. Anything you say may be used in evidence against you. So it's like anything you say will be used as evidence against you. The boys are taking it very, very seriously. They're completely absorbed in it. For them, it's the most important thing in the world, because the world for them is their neighborhood. And the greatest authority is Mother Yashoda. That's all they know. They're not big boys yet. They're not ready to go out in the world. Of course, the world is coming to Vrindavan. All the demons are coming. The boys, they usually like to play games of fighting, mock wars, killing demons. The demons very kindly obliged Krishna by coming as real demons for him to kill. No make-believe demons. He had some real demons to kill. And for him, it's all play. All simply play. Everything is simply play for Krishna. He performs these pastimes to give pleasure to his devotees, and he's pleased himself. He's always happy. And also to provide material for us to talk about now, for those in future who like to hear about Krishna. It's specifically stated at the end of the ninth canto of Bhagavatam. We're going through so many dynasties, and the names of various kings, and then we come to Krishna. He's also born in a dynasty. As is well known, he's born in the Chandravamsa, as Ram is born in the Suryavamsa. This would be common knowledge to every Hindu previously, but I don't know now. So it's specifically stated there that Krishna came to this world to perform pastimes so that devotees in future can relish them. We have that also, that Kunti Devi prays to Krishna, Srinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Abhikshna Sha Smaranti nandanti tave hitanjanaha taeva pashantya chirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramang padam bhujam. It's very beautiful just to hear it, even if we don't understand. What it means, simply hearing it, is very beautiful. So she says that she's talking to Krishna. He's grown up Krishna now. He's not eating dirt or passing stall in people's houses. He's making people pass stall by killing them. Yeah. So she says that those who hear about you, those who praise you, those who accept you in their hearts, continuously remembering you, taking pleasure in doing so, or taking pleasure in others doing so, they will see you very soon. And by seeing you, they will no longer see repeated birth and death. It's a self-defeating statement almost of Kunti, because she's saying, she's imploring Krishna not to leave, but at the same time she's saying that, well, if we go on praising you, then we'll see you very soon. So it's almost like giving him an excuse to leave. That, all right, you said it yourself. The Krishna says that to the gopis also. That sends the message with Uddhava, very philosophical message, that you go on hearing and chanting about me, and I'm the super soul in everyone's heart, and by hearing about me, you'll also attain me. And the gopis, we don't want all that. We want you. We want to hear about you. We want you. So Krishna performs pastimes so that we can go on hearing about them. It's unlikely that anyone here sitting in this assembly is hearing about this pastime for the first time. Maybe some of these young boys are hearing about it for the first time in this lifetime. Similarly with Ram Leela. Every year they enact, it's in Varanasi, now on the other side of the river, Rampur, they have an enactment of Ram Leela, and they go to different parts of the city, and it goes by caste, of course, and this Hanuman's son becomes Hanuman in the next generation. It goes on like this. So they enact the pastimes, and everyone's seen it before. Everyone knows. They know what's going to happen. But they love to see it and hear it and remember it again and again and again. Which, as Prabhupada said, that's proof that it's transcendental. Same with chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. It's proof that it's transcendental, that you can go on and on and on doing it. And proof of the transcendental nature of Krishna's pastimes, that devotees like to hear them again and again and again, even though they know it's not the story. There are so many stories, and the story itself is very interesting. But there's not really a story in Krishna's pastimes, as there is in Ram Leela. There's a plot, that's what it's called. There's a plot, a storyline, where Ram marries Sita, and everything looks very nice, and he's about to be crowned, and everything's very nice, but that wouldn't be much of a story if it ended there. But as you all know, it didn't end there. And practically the story ends after Sita is won, and then she comes back, and then again, banishment, the banishment of Sita. And then Ram lives for so many, of course he lives so, but he continues for several thousand years later. But we don't hear much about what happened then. Practically the story per se is over. But there is a storyline. But Krishna, there are many little stories, and some of them are so short that it's hardly a story at all. A demon came and Krishna killed him. One came, a big beak, pulled it open and killed him. And as far as stories go, there are probably more interesting stories. The most popular story in the English language seems to be at the present time this Harry Potter series of stories. I don't know what the story is because I didn't waste my time reading it, but whatever it is, it's very popular. There must be some kind of interesting story there. Don't give your children Harry Potter books to read. It may be. I've seen devotees, children, reading these things, filling up their minds with rubbish. But it's Krishna. It's Krishna himself is attractive. Devotees like to hear about it. One thing we'll see again and again and again in Krishna's pastimes are descriptions of his form and his beauty. Again and again and again. And there are so many poems written by Vaishnava poets, and they describe his form and his beautiful form. And again and again and again we have prayers to Krishna. Of course, there's much more going on, because how much could Shukadev say with Parikshit was on a timeline? He only has a limited amount of time. But even then, how much can you say? If we wanted to recount every moment of Krishna's life, we wouldn't have lifetimes long enough to hear it, because our life is not as long as the period that Krishna stayed in this world. And as we find from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that every moment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes could not be described even in millions of years. And you may say, well, that's a bit of an exaggeration, isn't it? But it's not. Because there are unlimited living entities who are experiencing the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they're all how they experience, what is their own personal experience of that, and it's unfolding at every moment. At every moment he's reciprocating with so many devotees. And most of them, even so many names are mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but we don't even know the names of so many devotees. Only the principal devotees are mentioned, the huge Sankirtan parties. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his madness fell in the sea, the fisherman caught him in his net and thought he'd caught a ghost. He became afraid he'd caught a ghost. He had caught a ghost in two senses. One thing is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was like a ghost in his consciousness. He'd gone away. It's almost like a jiva leaving his body. He had no consciousness of his body, of that body. He was absorbed in Vrindavan, Yamuna. And the fisherman also becoming so afraid. It was as if he was haunted by a ghost. And then Swarup Damodar, very intelligently understanding what was going on, because he thought he was haunted by a ghost, so he said, oh, lucky for you, I am an oja, an exorcist. So he said a few mantras and slapped him a few times and said, now the ghost is gone. And then the fisherman calmed down a bit because he thought the ghost had gone away. And he said, actually, that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they said, no, it's not. I've seen him many times. But this is not like him. His body is completely white, it's extended. So the point I'm making here is that the fisherman, a very ordinary resident of Puri, not an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, of course, I've seen him many times. Everyone in Puri would see him many times. So many devotees would see Krishna. They're all having their individual interaction with Krishna. And everyone, it's just the way we are. It's the way Krishna made us. We all are self-centered. We are all conscious of ourselves. And we feel our own pains and pleasures. And to us, it's important. We can empathize with others who are suffering, but we don't feel physically the pain or the pleasure. And we all have our relationships with others, and it's an ongoing thing, an ongoing interaction. So every devotee, including the blades of grass in Vrindavan, they all have their own personal interaction with Krishna. And Krishna is consciously interacting with every devotee, including the blades of grass, at every moment. And every devotee who's interacting with Krishna, they find themselves in the center of that interaction. And they experience that Krishna is taking notice of me. Krishna is interacting with me. So how many pastimes can be explained? If we want to find out more pastimes of Krishna as a baby boy, the best way to do it is chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead. Then you can join, if you like, his childhood pastimes. Or you can join his dancing with the gopis. That's a very high level, but Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport in the songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas that the aim of the Krishna conscious movement is to enable one to join Krishna in his pleasure dance in Vrindavan. That's what he says. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to give. Anarpita chiring chirat karunya vatirno kalo samapiyatumunutujvala rasang svabhakti shriyam. He comes to give that unata ujvala rasa, the topmost resplendent rasa, interaction, mellifluous taste of the interaction of devotion to himself. Bharaja Juvati, what is that? Radha Mahima, Prema Rasa Shima, Jagate Janatoke. He came to inform, no one else could inform, about the pastimes or the glories of Radha, which are the ultimate limit of Prema Rasa. So ultimately, it is to be experienced. But we start to experience by hearing about all these pastimes. And again, devotees, they like to hear again and again and again. There's one anecdote in that book, what's it called? The Journey Home. I read that book by Radhanath Swami Maharaj. For some time he was staying in an ashram of Rama Bhaktas, somewhere in North India, but he himself liked to hear about Krishna. So they would be talking among themselves, or Ram Leela. I guess they must have been speaking in Hindi or whatever, Bhojpuri, whatever, Brij Bhasha, whatever. So he would ask time to time if they could tell some story of Krishna, and every time they'd tell Damodar Leela, and they'd all laugh and they'd all enjoy it. Then he asked, why do you only tell that Leela? He says, it's the only one I know. But they're all enjoying it. The Ram Bhaktas, I guess they're very fixated on Ram. So maybe they take pleasure in hearing how Krishna is tied up. These transcendental rivalries are going on. See, our Ram is God, and your Krishna, he gets tied up. Even as by a village woman. So, well, our God, he's much bigger and better than yours. Right? The Ram Bhaktas, they often say things like that. Our Ram is very moral, and your Krishna is very immoral. And it goes on discussing. It's a good platform to discuss the glories of Krishna. There may be so many pastimes we're unaware of. They're not all in the Bhagavatam. Even the Radha Krishna pastimes. Of course, Radha's name not even directly mentioned in Bhagavatam. Rupa Goswami revealed some of them. Two of the most famous pastimes, they don't appear to be in any extant scripture whatsoever. That one is the Nauka Viha. Krishna is rowing the gopis over the river, disguised as a boatman. He gets them in the middle of a river, and then he's got them. Then they can't do anything, right? And then it starts to rain, and that's the whole story. And the other one, the Dana Keli, where Krishna decides he has to take some tax from the gopis who are going to sell their goods in Mathura. So those pastimes, they're related. Although Rupa Goswami wasn't the first to write about the Dana Keli. And he wrote that Dana Keli Komudi for Raghunath Das, who was so distraught hearing about the distress of the gopis. So he made some laughing pastimes. But those pastimes are already known. There are other, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, there are others. Oh, and of course, we have the poets, they describe scenes, all based, mostly based on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And then the poets describe various scenes which they visualize in their transcendental mind's eye, and they describe all. Just a short song usually, and then it's just some little point. And they usually insert themselves in the song also. Like we have like Bhaktivinoda, for instance, Bhakati Vinoda Deke Gaurara Shampada. That he's personally seeing all of this, the Arati on the bank of the Ganga, with all the demigods present, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's face, which is more effulgent than millions of moons. Bhaktivinoda's personally seeing that. And you'll find also, just like in that Shoka Shatana, he's describing in songs how the son of Srivas died, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought him back to life. It's a little bit like the Chitraketu pastime. And then he's saying that at the end of one song, Bhaktivinoda says that he's feeling some great trepidation. What will happen now? So personally experiencing it, and there's a common theme. There's even a word for it in Bengali, bhanita. Do they say they have that in Brijbhasha also? Mm. It's in most. In Sanskrit, yeah, in Sanskrit also, but in the Bengali songs and the bridge bully, it's standard to have that. And so the devotee is here on this plane, and he's describing the pastimes, and he's there also, and describing it. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also wrote that many pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vyasadeva will reveal in future. So like that, various poems, poets, they are revealing. That shouldn't come to an end. It can go on, should go on. That devotees, they enter the pastimes and come back and write, or while they're seeing, they write what they've seen. Of course, we have to be careful because people make things up also. Just some things are spurious, that means doubtful if they're real, and some things are just forgeries. Just like towards the end of the 19th century, there was a whole book of pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A manuscript by his servant, Govinda, who traveled with him in South India. Whoops, something a bit fishy right there. Because according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, well, according to Chaitanya Bhagavad, Govinda was a servant in the house of Sachimata. There's one Govinda, but then another Govinda came, who was the servant of Ishwara Puri, came after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from his tour of South India. So there's Govinda Das's Karicha notebook, which he kept when he was traveling in South India. And the manuscript is found in the end of the 19th century. And published. And almost immediately it was said to be a forgery, because this Govinda, he was, for a start, he identified himself as a member of the blacksmith caste. And such people, they don't know how to write anyway. That's the first, what do they call that, red flag. Then one of the words he uses in that writing is janala, which is Bengali for window. It comes from Portuguese, and the Portuguese weren't in India at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there are so many things. It's just a forgery, that's all. So you have to be careful. There are others also, this Nityananda Charitamrita. I had a long public exchange with Ishwara Prabhu, who published that. Say, no, it's a great book. Devotees are enlivened by it. It's all Chaitanya Bhagavat, almost all, but the last two chapters are not. It's just made up. So you see, it's written by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Well, that's the name put on it. And similarly, there's this Nityananda Vamsa Vistar, from the same source, the one book which describes the expansion of Nityananda Prabhu's dynasty. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur called all of these apagranthas, or not bona fide books. There are so many things. In Puri, there was the Pancha Shaka. We have in Chaitanya Charitamrita Pancha Tattva, the five principles by which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to be worshipped. There is Krishna himself as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his form as a devotee, then Swarup, Bhaktavatara, the devotee and the energy of the devotee. So these are the Pancha Tattva. Actually, if we say Pancha Tattva, we're referring to five principles. Not, of course, non-different, but the emphasis is on the Tattva. It's not exactly Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara, because, well, especially Shakti Tattva, Gadadhara, but the name is given, but there are so many others in Shakti Tattva, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. And then among the devotees, there are unlimited, of whom the name of Srivas is particularly given. So we have Panchata and then Panchashaka, the in Orissa, their sampradaya has been very influential, but it's a mixture of Mayavad and some yogic siddhis and some leftover Buddhist ideas from, as that area was very much influenced by Buddhism at one point. So we don't accept that. We from our acharyas, we accept what is bona fide. Rupanuga viruddha apasiddhanta dvanta hari. Bhakti Stansar said he removed the darkness of the wrong ideas which are opposed to the proper conclusions given by Rupa Goswami. So seeing the pastimes, we smaranti, what is that? Srinvanti, gayanti, smaranti. We should hear and glorify the pastimes and then automatically, remembrance will start to come. But we have to be careful that remembrance doesn't get mixed up with our own imagination or with someone else's imagination. Because there are so many people who are Krishna conscious, but not in the way that Krishna wants us to be Krishna conscious. So we're talking here about the upper sampradayas. They may be very Krishna conscious or Radha conscious. In Vrindavan, there's a sampradaya which has been going on for 500 years and recently became very popular due to one sadhu was discovered because he's discussing all these things. So you can say, yeah, they're very Krishna conscious or Radha conscious, the one sampradaya. They put so much emphasis on Radha, which is meaningless, actually, and offensive, if we don't see Radha in relation to Krishna. It's something like stealing Sita. You want to separate her from Ram. She's happy when Krishna is glorified, when she brings people to Krishna to serve. Krishna is the ultimate object of love, and he points to Radha. If you come close enough in that circle, which is a very rare thing to do, then he will point to Radha. But every living being in creation and beyond creation, up to Radha, identify themselves as servants of Krishna. So we can love Krishna, or reawaken or develop our love for Krishna in the same way that Radha does, basically, in service. But we can't aspire to love Radha the way that Krishna does. That's unique for Krishna. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. The fact that he finds enjoyment in Radha does not make her the supreme enjoyer. She's the supreme enjoyed. All these things have to be understood. Otherwise, we can get in very big trouble, even being very Krishna conscious or Radha conscious. They are. They're absorbed in thoughts of Radha and this and that. But is it pleasing to Radha? That we have to consider. How will we know? So we also require to understand all this philosophy. Otherwise, in the name of loving Krishna, we'll mix up misconceptions. It's a common thing for women especially, not only women, to worship Krishna in baby form, as a child, thinking that Krishna is my child. So that's one kind of Krishna consciousness, and there's a whole sampradaya which emphasizes that. A bona fide sampradaya, accepted as a bona fide sampradaya. But long ago, one of my godbrothers in Calcutta was telling some of us, he used to visit sometimes the houses of some of the richest people in India. So they were worshipping Krishna as a baby, and as their child. So one woman of the house said, I treat Krishna just as my child. I sit him next to me when we're watching television, and we enjoy watching television together. In those days, to have a TV in India was like having a Rolls Royce. So, without understanding this basic point, which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he establishes very strongly in his opening to Chaitanya Charitamrita, the whole opening to Chaitanya Charitamrita is very philosophical. We can understand this point. But he makes the point that everyone is a servant of Krishna. And he gives evidence from Shastra that even Nanda Maharaj considers himself a servant. Up to Radharani, she considers herself a servant. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arsha Britta Jare Joiche Nache Tari Toiche Kare Nritya. There's only one supreme controller, who is Krishna. And everyone else is his servant, and everyone dances according to the way he makes them dance. So there are games going on in Vrindavan, with Krishna appearing like a young boy. And he likes that. He likes to do that, but it's not an ordinary thing to enter there. And this point, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made in some great detail in his poem Prakrita Rasa Shata Dushani, distinguishing the mundane sentiment from the transcendental sentiment. There is adhikar, or eligibility is required. Adhikar na labhya, siddha deha bhave. What's the next line? Shaktirabhave. I don't remember exactly. I should remember. If one tries to contemplate on his own perfect form, then without being qualified to do so, then due to lacking that eligibility, I'm getting mixed up. Twice he says, Bhaktivinoda. I'm getting mixed up between the two. Another time he says, if you try to get the fruit from the tree, but when you shake the tree, without climbing the tree, if you just try to shake the fruits down, you won't get the proper ripe fruits. But I'm not remembering the Bengali just now. So yes, let's all go. Let's all go to Vrindavan. That was the motto for the Rajamandal Parikrama organized by the Gauriya Math in Calcutta. Which year was that? 1932? Something like this. So that was the motto. Braje Cholo. Come on, let's go. Let's all go to Vrindavan. So let's go. At the same time, we have to consider how to go. Narottam Das's song in this regard, Goranga Balite Hobe Pulakasharya, Hari Hari Balite Nayane Babina. This informs us how we can go. When we're actually chanting the names of Goranga, chanting the name Hari Hari, and the body is shivering with hair standing on end, that is not artificial. Not artificial means Ar kobe nitai chande koruna hoibe shongshara basharam or kobe tucha hobe. When by the mercy of Nityananda, our material deep-rooted desires will become nothing, insignificant in our heart. Rupa raghunatha pade hoibe akuti tabe ham bujbo she jugala piriti. When we have to go through the parampara system, Vishayacharya kabe shuddha habe man tabe hamaharabo Sri Vrindavan. When we've given up all desires for sense gratification and the mind is completely pure, then we can go to Vrindavan. Otherwise you can go to Vrindavan. There must be a train from Salem direct to Mathura Junction. Kerala train, probably. And you used to catch a tongi, those horse-drawn carriages, to go to Vrindavan. And you can go. We can go right now. Why don't we all just go to Vrindavan right now? Let's go. You can go. But we may not go. You can be closer to Vrindavan if we have the consciousness of Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan, he never left Vrindavan. Some people went to Vrindavan, they never went to Vrindavan. Of course, Vrindavan, Mathura have their own kindness upon the residents there. But one of the things Srila Prabhupada wanted to do, actually one of the main purposes of his building Krishna Balaram Mandir, he said, is to show what is Krishna consciousness to the people of Vrindavan. He wanted his disciples there to be, just a few should be there and they should be ideal Goswamis. That was his aim. And actually it did have a tremendous effect. The deity worship standard tremendously improved out of shame, practically. Seeing the standard that all these Malechas were doing over at the Angrezi Mandir, then the standard improved so much. Hare Krishna. So let's go to Vrindavan and make Vrindavan here. It's a very big job here in South India to implant Vrindavan. Maybe in some ways more difficult than in America, because people already have their own ideas of Vaikuntha. If at all they're Vaishnavas, they're very much attached to the Vaikuntha concept, which is also a lot better than the American idea of how we should live our life. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here and it said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that he also converted the Sri Vaishnavas to his cult. So he wanted to give that. So that we're preaching, building a South Indian opulent temple, and come inside and see Radha dancing with Krishna. What's all that about? Okay, take this book. Sit down, listen. Hare Krishna, any question, comment? Please let us know. Nope, all right, Hare Krishna. Anchakalpatarupyascha kripa sindhu vachapati dhanam pavanebhyo Vaishnava.